Welcome to Gnostic Insights. My name is Dr. Sid Ropp, and I'm your host. A friend stopped by this week and we sat at the kitchen table for a couple of hours, and she gave me the great pleasure of having a chance to sit and chat with someone about the Gnostic Gospel Illuminated. This was recorded using my telephone instead of my official microphone setup here, so the quality might not be as good as usual. The dog picks up a squeaker toy at several places during the conversation, and so you're going to hear the squeaker squeaker noise, which is cute. I think it's funny. Hope you don't find it too annoying. So here's part one of a free-ranging conversation at my kitchen table. I wish you could have been here too.
If we're all the Father, and then the Son.
Right.
So we all have consciousness running through us.
Exactly. So from the same source.
From the same source. That's right. So doesn't that mean anything that we receive, it doesn't come from ourselves, our ego. It is coming from the channel.
Well, the truth comes down from the Pleroma. The truth comes down from the Father, the Son, and the fullness of God. So yes, we all share the same truths. But here we are in this material world, and it generates a lot of untruth. So the material world is fallen. This place down here is fallen. And people come up with wrong notions, and the wrong ideas come out of people's egos. So, you know, our spirit is all the one spirit. Our spirits are all replications of the entirety of the fullness here. So we've all got the same spirit. And the same truths and the same Holy Spirit that comes through. But we each have our own individual egos. And the ego is our place. It's our learning. It's our karma in the world. It's our memes that we believe in, the things we hate and the things we love. Those are all egoic. And your ego is like, you know, in the Bible, how it says, you know, don't place your lampstand under a bushel basket. Do you remember that metaphor? See, we've all got this little light of truth. And in the Bible, there's this one metaphor that says, okay, well, now don't throw a basket over it. And the basket is your ego.
Right.
And so it's our basket of the ego, or our memes. I think of the meme, and meme isn't just the, you know, hang in there, baby kind of memes. Memes is anything you learn, everything that we carry around that we believe in strongly, or that we reject strongly. You know, atheists believe in God just as much as theists do, or they wouldn't be so up in arms about it. It's just that they're rejecting God. So anything you hate or anything you love, and plus any of the ordinary consciousness stuff, like how to work your iPhone, that is all me. Those are all memes. They're exchanges of information at the person-to-person level. The things that come down from the fullness are more like, they're godly memes. You could call them virtues, or the way everything runs, physics, chemistry. You remember all the sorting, mathematics, all of that comes from above. That's all heavenly information. And I think when people write, you know that phenomenon that a bunch of screenwriters will write the same movie.
Right, right, right. This is why I'm asking the question, is are there any original ideas?
There aren't very many, because most of our stories, most of our fables, you know, there aren't that many stories. You've heard that. There's hardly any stories. What, how many plots are there, right? 12 or 14 or something? Very few plots. Everything else is just embellishment. So I think that those very few archetypal, in the Jungian sense, which is actually in the Gnostic sense, the archetypal stories all do come down from above, because the Pleroma, I believe, is sitting up there writing stories. You know, they are like the original screenwriters up there. Mm-hmm. And they've got a big imaginary life going on. And that's paradise.
So then are we the players?
We are the players, except we're not up there. We're down here. So they placed us down here. We are their fruit. And we are getting those stories that are archetypal. But our stories are also gummed up with ego. And I think that's why when something bad happens to you, you go, well, that's not fair. Mm-hmm. Well, see, well, whoever said it was going to be fair? Well, we expect it to be fair because up there it is. So up in the Pleroma, all their movies have happy endings. And all their romances work out. Mm-hmm. And their pets never die.
And we still have that expectation.
And we have that expectation because that's our imprint. But we live in the fallen world, and it's all gummed up with the inverses. You know, the demiurge is the inverted version of God. And the archons are the inversions of the eons.
Okay.
So do you remember this chart in this book? Here. Oh, here it is. See, these are all traits of the eons, and everything here is good and peachy keen. Mm-hmm. These are the traits of the fallen world, and they are all inverses of these.
Right.
And you can see this is the way bad things happen. These are the sad and horrible and despicable things.
Right.
And these all come from down here. They don't come from up there, because up there it's all peachy keen, and down here it's all crap.
So when we experience something that's inverted,
yes,
do we have to then respond with the traits of the father?
Yes. That's what we're supposed to do. So you don't meet violence with violence. You meet violence with love. But that's the hard thing. That's what our personal growth, or that's what our personal struggles are all about. But like for me, I'll carry a grudge. Someone hurts me. Mm-hmm. Someone's mean to me. It's very hard for me to forgive them. But you know how important forgiveness is.
Right, right.
And so it might take me a long time. It might take me a year or 2 years or 15 or 20 years to actually get to where I'm willing to forgive them. But that's my own, that's the bad side.
Right.
That's ego. Because ego is all about me. Mm-hmm. You know, ego, narcissism is huge right now, right?
Right.
It's a narcissistic world we live
well,
in.
Well, I had this impression that when the virus came, that it was called Corona. And I thought, everybody's wearing their own crowns. This
yes.
is the problem.
Interesting.
In my opinion, if we all just put down the crowns and worked together and worked with nature.
Right.
And respected the animals, for example.
Right.
And remember that we are not the king.
Right. And this is what happened. This is what created our material world in this Gnostic cosmology, is that logos, which means reason and logic, same root as logic, logos was the crowning eon at the top of the pile. And he forgot that everybody was down there below him. Logos has the traits of all the rest of the eons. He was perfect and full in himself. And then he forgot that they were down there. See, there he is sitting on top of having forgotten that they're under him. And so he thought he could go ahead and accomplish the great task, that he could build, you know, the new world all by himself mm-hmm. without the rest of the eons. And that's what caused Logos to fall. And what replaced him is nothing but ego. The demiurge is ego, whereas Logos is the fullness. And sadly enough for our Christian and Hebrew cosmologies, the Jehovah God of the Old Testament is the fallen Logos. That Jehovah is the demiurge.
Really?
That's why it's such a huge heresy. That's why you're not allowed to say that. But you know, the Old Testament God is a jealous God.
Right. Which never made sense to me.
That's because he's egoic.
I went to Catholic school, and I remember being in Catholic school and questioning, thinking, this is not the God that I have in my heart.
Right. And it's not. Because the true God is the guy up here. And the demiurge is the guy down here. And he fell, and he is nothing but ego, and he's the guy that runs the archons. He is the inversion of the true God. So Christ belongs to the Father above. The Son belongs to the Father above, the God above all gods. He's called in Gnosticism to distinguish him from Yahweh, because Yahweh's down here walking around. Yeah, let's kill all the Canaanites. Hey, let's kill all the firstborn of the the Egyptians, right? You know, paint your door with blood because we are going to kill the firstborn of all the Egyptians. Well, that isn't God. That isn't love. Right. That isn't forgiveness or let's all pull together and work together for the good of us all. Mm-hmm. That is, I am a jealous God. And he declares himself that. And there are books, there are Gnostic Gospels that were cut out of the Bible because it goes into detail about what happened. Try as he might, the Demiurge could not make man. He made a form of man. He made us look like man. He was able to put everything in place, but he couldn't get any life because the Demiurge is not alive. The Demiurge is fallen out of life. And it takes the Holy Spirit to bring life. So whenever a living organism is conceived, that's the Holy Spirit coming in and bringing the material mud to life.
It makes me think of AI.
Yes, AI is not going to be alive. And I've got, so you need to go, you will enjoy at some point when you have time going on to my Gnostic Insights podcast, because there are 56 episodes now going into these kinds of ideas. I used to think AI would be alive because a long time ago, I believed in the, you know, Star Trek universe that it's all going to be good and it's all up from here. But technology is dead. Technology belongs to the Demiurge. The AI is a demiurgic attempt to displace the fullness of God. And really, if you look at the people that believe strongly in transhumanism and AI and going to Mars in order to keep the race alive, they're all atheists. They really
right.
are.
That's right.
And so this is simply the Antichrist at work. So I think it's possible that...
You want to play? Yeah. I did listen to the podcast this morning, and I listened to the episode called Ego Shroud.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
Which I loved it. And I had a question about, I understand that we have the ego to protect ourselves here.
Yes.
In this earth.
Yes.
Back in the day when we needed to defend ourselves from animals and needed to get shelter and all. But why do we still have the ego now?
Well, because people love the ego. Most people who are not spiritual, they don't even recognize the spiritual aspect of themselves. They think that ego is all there is. So that's why they love the emotions. They love to hold on to their sense of me, me, me. It's the narcissistic urge is extremely strong. It's either narcissism or spirit. So the ego is always on the throne. The ego is the corona. And it isn't just in the old days people needed their ego to protect themselves. We're all about ego. You know, Snapchat and all of these things are all about ego. They're all about showing your best, you know, showing all the selfies. Oh my God, how many selfies can people put up? That's all ego. People love their ego. Right. And people who do not want to put God on the throne of their bodies, up here at the very top, this is either my ego walking around running everything, or it's the spirit of God. And
it's like Wayne Dyer says, you can either be a host, you decide.
Right.
You're going to be for God, or you're going to be for your ego.
Right. And I like, and I also used to think a lot about his saying, see the ball, move the ball. The selfless aspect of being a team player. It's selfless. To be a good team player, you're willing to pass the ball to someone else because they've got the shot.
Right.
But if you're an egoic player, you're going to take the shot.
And you're always going to keep the ball.
And you're going to keep the ball. Right. So people want... People love their egos. That's what all the television commercials are about. What about this new Bowflex? or the Peloton, where
you look at yourself.
You look at yourself. Life size. Oh man, I'm beautiful. Look at me work out. Who is that? That's the ego.
Okay, but so what? Why do we need it? Like why? Or is it because we've fallen and that's why we have it?
Yes, we have it because we're fallen. See, in my opinion, the demiurge is in charge of everything that's material, up through the molecular level, up through the elements, up through metal, up through mud. So everything dead was made and crafted by the demiurge. So Yahweh is not an impotent God. Yahweh is the God of all the material universe. The stars, you know, the wind, fire. This is all stuff that Yahweh made. He just can't get the life of the Pleroma down here because he thinks he ought to be enough. He has amnesia. When the demiurge fell out of the Pleroma, he bumped his head and he has complete amnesia that anyone comes before him. He woke up and thinks he is God. He doesn't remember the Father. He doesn't remember the eons.
Is this the same as the story where the fallen angel?
It is like the story of the fallen angel, yes. But it's bigger than that because the demiurge is the uber angel. The archons are like fallen angels because each of them is an inverse of an eon. So if the eons we could call angels, the archons, they're the posse that demiurge runs with. They didn't fall out of the Pleroma other than the fact that they came out of the broken body of Logos. He fell out of the ethereal realm, broke apart, and all of the devils rolled out. And they are the guys that run everything down here. They're called the authorities of the material world. So you can't get around them. That's why we age and die. That's why things rust.
So going back to Yahweh being in charge of this world.
Yeah.
Does that also include nature?
Nature, if it's unmolested nature, like a forest, that's all controlled by the Pleroma because it's pure life and there's nobody in the way, except for the fact that death comes upon them. Aging and death is entropy. The force of entropy is demiurgic. There's no entropy in heaven. You know, the grass is always green. The sky is always blue. Nobody ever dies. But down here, everybody dies sooner or later, and that's the force of entropy destroying. So it's a destructive force.
But it also can be a force that feeds for
yes,
new life.
Yes, and that is why it is so nurturing to take walks in the woods or to spend your time at the ocean or to be at the lake. Any time you're out in nature, it's directly being fed by the Holy Spirit and the Pleroma. This is how things run. And then you are being fed and you're being energized. This is why herbs, they come from God. You know, tinctures and herbs come from the Father. Chemicals cooked up in a laboratory come from the demiurge.
Wow. It is, to me, I've always been fascinated with the yin and yang.
Yeah. Yes, it's that kind of idea because there's no yin and yang in the heaven. It's all good. It's all goodness. The yin and yang occurs down here. This is called the endless war. So these are the forces of vice and the demiurge and death, and these are the forces of the Holy Spirit and the Pleroma and life. That's why these are dark and deathly, and these look like little green cells. And we are in a never-ending battle.
Right.
With evil, whatever that means. Those, you know, ego versus spirit inside of ourselves, anger versus forgiveness, right versus left politically.
Conscious versus unconscious.
Right, right. Everything is a battle down here. It's all about battle, unfortunately. But the way we're supposed to win the battle is with love, and we have forgotten that. So in this book, I say we are called second order powers and we are the fruit of the Pleroma, like the way a fungus shoots out spores. We are the spores of the Pleroma and we are seeded down here. And our purpose was to take all this dead material and bring life back into it. Except we forgot that was what the job was.
It's almost like we get infected as well.
Sometimes. Yes, yes, we get infected. And so we forgot about that. And so now we think we're warriors that are supposed to lop off people's heads. But we're not supposed to lop off people's heads. We're supposed to kiss them and love them and show them that it's okay.
And then if we die in the fight, that's okay.
That's fine, because we're going right back up to the Pleroma.
It's almost like we do have to sacrifice ourselves.
Okay, so the Christ prefigures Jesus of Nazareth. The Christ is one of these figures out of the Pleroma. The Christ is the Son plus the Pleroma and the power of the Holy Spirit with the blessing of Father. So it's all these things, like the whole Megillah of the good stuff, incarnated down here below.
Okay.
In order to help us. Oh, it's all meta. It's so meta. And not only that, right, exactly. And then when I talk about fractals, the stories are repeated at higher and lower scales. So it all started up above, but yet it goes on in our little tiny lives as well. Over and over and over again.
Okay, so now being here, for me, a lot of times I'm asking God, well, what do you want? Why am I here? Which way should I go? It's very confusing because nowadays the law of attraction, you can have anything you want. And I'm like, but to what?
Right.
What
and
for?
That's not, no, that's what egoic. For? The law of attraction
exactly.
is egoic.
Exactly. I mean, you can have everything in this world, but to me, there's something very selfish about it.
Well, it is. And plus, remember, what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So these tech billionaires, they're going up with their giant penis-shaped rockets. Are they happy? Are they secure? I doubt it. I doubt they're any happier than anybody else. Right. Perhaps even more miserable because their wealth is not giving them the peace and joy that they expected. The only way to get peace and joy is to go back up. So that's why. So here's how you figure it out. You take yourself off the throne and you replace the Christ on the throne. Okay, the Christ in whatever form, and if we're Christians, we believe in Jesus. Right. Jesus was a human body who, though perfectly embodied that whole Megillah, the good thing plopped full on down into Jesus. So he never sinned. Everything was always perfect. He always knew what the plan was. And by the way, see, this is another heresy. You don't have to believe in Jesus the way the Baptists do in order to be saved, because the job of the Christ is the job of the Christ. It's not the job of you and me to believe or not believe. If the Christ's mission depended upon you accepting it, then you would have more power than the Christ. You see what I mean?
Nice.
Yeah, wow. Exactly.
You really need to talk about that, because so many people put focus on you need to accept Jesus Christ as your
right, Savior. Right, or else you'll go to hell. But we don't believe in a vindictive God. Everybody's going back up.
And it just might take more time for one person than another.
Absolutely, exactly. And this is what my loving brother is always trying to remind me. Everyone's on their own spiritual journey. Everyone's at a different place in their journey. You shouldn't be impatient with where they are. Love them and help them forward.
That's why you have your brother
right.
in this life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And plus, he's 10 years older than I am. So I grew up talking about this way with him ever since I was this tall.
This is how I feel about my father. We had very big conversations. I was a child.
Yes.
But he would I would talk about someone at school that was bullying another girl. Dad, should I fight this person?
Right.
And he would be like, yes, you have to stand up for this person. And the next day he'd be like, no, you shouldn't fight.
Right,
but
right.
But these are wonderful conversations for a child to have.
Exactly. You know? And so few, and it's so rare, you see.
Yes.
And this is why you and I get along. Because we know how to talk this way. We've been talking this way since we were kids.
Right, right.
Well, yay for us. Yeah. And this is what it's called gnosis. This is the gnosis, and you can have direct gnosis with all the good stuff above, but you have to get your ego shroud out of the way. Just set it aside. The goal is not for us to lose our ego. Our egos are required. It's our ego that makes sure we can go to the refrigerator and have food and
right.
so on. So ego is important down here, but your ego is subservient to your spirit. And so our one truth that we all share, that gnosis of the Father, that has to be the guy that teaches your ego, just the way your dad taught you and my brother taught me.
It's almost like we always have to keep God at the forefront.
Yes.
And the ego is just an armor we put on to go out in the world.
Exactly. That's a good...
When we meet someone who also has God in the forefront, we can take off the armor, but maybe not until then.
That's a good thought.
Because I've gone out in life without the armor.
Right, right.
And I always feel like God is my protector.
Right.
And it's so far, it's worked out pretty good, except when it doesn't, it hurts really badly. Right,
right. Right.
And you think, oh, okay, I got to put this armor back on.
Right.
It's very interesting. It's when to have that armor, when to take it off.
And yeah.
When to, that's what I'm constantly considering. What is the balance here in this world?
Well, one thing I think, how do you know what you should do? Your entire life has been leading you up to here and now.
Oh, my friend always says this to me, and I love it whenever I have a doubt. She says, well, do you believe that God brought you to this place where you are here right now? Do you believe that? And I said, yes, of course. She says, well, then everything's going to be fine.
Right, because you have your skill set. You've been trained up in the way you should go. You have your skill set. So God wants you to do something with all those talents that you have here. So the writing, the talking, the lecturing, the podcasting, and plus I'm an actor too. I don't know if you know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, I'm quite the performer, as you might be able to tell.
I can see that.
And I also sing and dance. Wow. I'm a headliner. So it's hard being a performer because you know it's nothing but egos. Good God, there's nothing but egos backstage, and that's a tough place. But for some reason, God gave me these talents and seems to want me to perform. And for me, the hard thing is not to be egoic, is not to think, man, I'm really good. Mm-hmm. Is not to believe my reviews. You know, how do you...
The balance.
Well, yeah. Well, I always try not to be egoic. I don't want to be egoic. But, you know, whenever I step out on stage, it's like, look at me, ain't I great? Hey, yes, applause, applause. But I'm a little on, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't want the applause. I think that all the glory should be to God.
Nice. Yes.
But, you know, when do we do that? When do we take our bows and go, you know, like the guys that get a touchdown, you know, yeah. Some of those guys, okay, I could do that, I suppose. Take my bow and go, but it's
well,
really
your whole
difficult.
Your whole life's work is for God. I think you do that all the time.
Well, I try, but it's a real struggle because I always feel as though I should resist wanting to go on stage. But then going on stage makes me happy. At least it feeds me somehow. It gives me energy and it makes me very, very happy.
That goes back to Campbell saying, follow your bliss.
Well, there you go.
Which makes sense because... If God is love, God also has to be
Make
full
us happy.
Of joy.
Yes, yes. And the joy all comes from that side. That's right.
So I love what you just said, which I'm always thinking about, is that God gave
us
you,
talents.
Yes, me, gifts, particular gifts. And so there must be a reason why.
Right. And so and it might take a while for them to show up, but just keep collecting those gifts, and at some point it's all gonna pop out. It's all going to be put to some kind of use. And, you know, you just keep pursuing what you pursue. I keep waiting to be discovered. I've only been small market discovered, but I keep waiting. I keep thinking it's going to happen. Maybe it will.
Why do you want that, you think?
Well, exactly. Exactly. Is it ego or not?
Right. It's interesting, right?
Yes. Actually... I think that in my own mind, I think that the Gnostic Gospel Illuminated is an extremely important religious work. And my brother Billy does agree. Thank God Billy agrees. Billy's, you know, he buys this stuff hook, line, and sinker. And he thinks this is really, he keeps saying, you got to get this into the hands of the Pope. He'd love this. My brother is so innocent. He thinks the Pope would love this because it is the correction for Catholicism.
So going back to what you said about Christ,
yeah.
Does that mean Buddha could be the Christ?
Yes, Buddha is also a Christ.
Okay.
But I don't worry about that being a heresy because, you know, people that live in the lands where people love Buddha, they need to have their own Christ too. And that's one of the objections to Christianity. Well, why should somebody in Africa go to hell just because they never heard the word? That's just the way it is. No, that's not the way it is.
Right.
You know?
To me, that's about control.
Yes. Yes. Anyone who preaches this, who preaches the Father and the love of God, the God above all gods, universal salvation, and see, universal salvation is a big heresy in the Christian church because for some reason they want people to go to hell. But that isn't the loving God. God's not going to let anybody go to hell. Christ came to save everyone. And that is the message we are supposed to be preaching.
Well, that's about half of my conversation I had with my friend. I hope you're enjoying it and getting something out of it. We'll pick it up again next week. In the meantime, onward and upward, and God bless.